This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of the show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. A new election survey by the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, has found, unsurprisingly, that nearly three-quarters of American Muslim voters intend to cast their ballot for the Democratic nominee on November 8th. Republican nominee Donald Trump's repeated calls for Muslims to be banned from the U.S. have not won him very many fans, and only 4% of the respondents in CARE's survey said they would vote for him. Trump's inflammatory rhetoric seems to be having real-world consequences, of course, as incidents of hate crimes against Muslims have risen. In one of the most disturbing stories in the news, the FBI recently arrested three men in Kansas calling themselves the Crusaders, who are planning attacks on Muslim communities in Garden City, Kansas. My guest is Hussam Ailush, the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations Greater Los Angeles Area Chapter. Welcome to the show, Hussam.
Thank you, Sonal. It's always a pleasure.
So let's first talk about this election survey before we get into the consequences of Trump's rhetoric. The survey, of course, as I said, not very surprising. How was the survey conducted, and what did you make of the results?
Well, it's the second survey. We've done one after the first, before the first debate, and then a second one after the debate itself. We picked a list. There are companies now that collect the list of people based on their ethnicity or religious backgrounds, and we ask them to locate names of people who sound Muslim. So this cannot be 100% accurate, because obviously some names are shared between Christian Arab, Muslim Arabs, or sometimes Muslim Hindu members of South Asian communities. So it's not 100%, but it's quite accurate of Muslims who are registered to vote. So we asked them about their views, and we noticed a major change between prior to the debate and after the post-debate. And in all fairness, I have to say, from talking to people, just in an anecdotal way, just people that I know, most people have said their main reason for having those views is actually because of the anti-Muslim rhetoric coming from the Trump campaign.
So why the difference between before versus after the debate? Because Trump has been talking about banning Muslims for a very long time now.
Very good observation. That was exactly my question. I was wondering, when I saw numbers in the 20% or so willing to vote for Trump, I was surprised. But I think as we spoke to people, what I heard from them is that, well, maybe initially they thought this was just part of the campaign rhetoric, just some fluff, nonsense that he says just to gain some votes, as if this is not enough to be bad. But they felt that maybe this is just a quick thing that will happen, and then this is not the substance of what he holds. I think eventually they realized that this is the substance. You know, his anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, anti-Mexican, anti-minority rhetoric is the only substance, unfortunately, that he has. Maybe some of the people initially had some partisan loyalty, some GOP loyalty. They are members of the GOP, and then there are many Muslims who, obviously Muslims are not monolithic, so there were many Muslims who are Republican, and maybe they felt some loyalty until they, like many other Republicans, realized that what Trump says actually is not even in line with the core values of the Republican Party.
And I'm wondering if it's possible that that difference between before and after the debate was just simply, you know, overall effect, that in general there might have been an overall voter trend against Trump after seeing his performance at the debate that simply spilled over onto Muslim voters too.
Absolutely. It certainly has had an impact.
So let's talk about some of the other results from the survey. I mean, basically, you also asked Muslim voters what their views of the general atmosphere in the United States has been. What did you find about people's opinions on Islamophobia in the U.S.? Because the rhetoric that Trump spouts does have consequences.
Absolutely. It has normalized. What Trump has been doing is normalizing bigotry in our country, and specifically against Muslims or those who appear like Muslims eventually. So whether he wins or not, I think the damage has been done, and there's so much work that needs to be done to clean up in the aftermath. But what we found is what we've been hearing from people. We visit mosques across the U.S. I visit 3-4 mosques every week, and I meet with people. And this is exactly what we've been hearing on the ground, and that is people feel unsafe today, especially people who are visibly Muslim. That means usually darker people. That means women who wear the hijab, men who dress in men or women who dress in some traditional clothing, people with long beards maybe, have been telling us that they've been harassed, they've been hurt, they've been hearing comments, whether it's as doing some benign things like shopping at a mall or grocery shop, going to school. The cases of school bullying has been going, you know, rising like never before. Actually, what we've seen just this year compared to last year, we've seen doubling and tripling of the number of hate incidents, much worse than we've seen in any time, even in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
So it's a lot of damage that we need to deal with. It is basically people who feel that it's okay, it's patriotic today, to make Muslims feel uncomfortable. People who go out of their way to make really negative or threatening comments to Muslims. And of course, this has led to even serious incidents, such as an imam and his assistant who were murdered over a month ago, in New York, a visiting Muslim lady in hijab who was set on fire. Her hijab was set on fire. Fortunately, she survived. Also in New York, mosques attacked, vandalism against mosques, death threats on a regular basis. This is the result of obviously the increased anti-Muslim rhetoric, not only by Trump, but also collected by the famous various so-called or pseudo media outlets and pundits, media pundits online, who continue to demonize and defame Muslims and American Muslims in specific.
So then it shouldn't surprise us that among the issues that Muslim voters said were most important to them this election, civil rights was a top one, right?
Absolutely. Because, of course, when we also hear that our government, you know, despite all this growing anti-Muslim incidents or number of incidents, as even the government admits to and states, we still continue to see ongoing and growing number of programs directed at American Muslims that involve the violation of their civil rights, whether it's when Muslims are flying, being placed on no-fly list, in no way being able to verify or hold accountable why their name was on the list, or even eventually remove their names. Very difficult. It's a very difficult process. Or special programs set to target American Muslim youth, such as the CVE, the infamous CVE program, the Countering of Violent Extremism, set up by the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and DOJ, Department of Justice, specifically targeting American Muslims, despite the fact that our own government's numbers, our own statistics from the FBI and the Department of Justice state and point to the fact that the number one threat and source of domestic terrorism in our country, the number one cause of death and murder in our country, continues to be white supremacist groups and white militias in our country. And yet there are no programs directed at that community, only at the American Muslim community at large, not those engaged in terrorism. The Muslim community at large is held responsible for such crimes.
And so on that issue, and following up from some of the hate incidents, hate crime related incidents that you mentioned earlier, was this incident in Kansas that I mentioned. Three men arrested, calling themselves the Crusaders. They had planned attacks on an apartment building, a mosque in Garden City, Kansas. It's not necessarily clear if they were motivated directly by what Trump has been saying, but the FBI clearly has been investigating them. Maybe they might unearth more such incidents if they actually had a program, or at least if they had sort of equal attention paid to these various groups. What do you make of this particular incident? Certainly, it's gratifying to see that this intelligence agency caught these perpetrators before they actually carried out what sounds like, or what should be called, terrorist attacks.
I mean, I'll personally, of course, speak on behalf of the American Muslim community. We're very, very grateful that and thankful that this attempt of a mass murder of almost 120 individuals in this apartment complex, mostly Somali Americans in this small city west of Wichita, Kansas, we're very thankful that it was foiled. But also, I have to say, as a civil rights activist with a long history and long experience dealing with the FBI's announcements of foiled attacks, I'm also reminded that not all the facts are known yet. Whether it was really a foiled attack through an informant who reported what happened, or unfortunately, as we've seen in numerous cases involving Muslims, where actually that informant played more than the role of informant, where that informant actually played the role of a agent provocateur. So, and this is not to vindicate, those three individuals who hold such hatred, but also I want to make sure that we differentiate because we don't know all the facts. But what we know for a fact is that there were three individuals who were willing, whether on their own or through the help of an informant, to engage in mass murder in our country. And it's again, a reminder that that's all it takes. It takes some isolated cases of individuals filled with hatred. And of course, now with social normalization and acceptance to a great extent through the rhetoric of politicians, failed leaders and failed politicians, to engage for those people to engage actually eventually in taking action, implementing their hatred against the targeted group. Some of the things reported from that incident are just crazy to imagine that they're happening now. I mean, the way they just talked about even targeting babies, causing mayhem, causing a conflict, to have Americans wake up to the threat of Islam and Muslims in such a horrific way.
And just to clarify what you mean when you say the role of FBI informants is very controversial, basically we've seen the FBI and other intelligence agencies in the U.S. go into Muslim communities and veer dangerously close to what many would consider entrapment in the past, where basically an idea being put into a vulnerable or easily influenced person's head is then the basis for them being arrested, and ideas that can involve, purchasing or creating a bomb and setting it off, whereas that person might not have gone down that path had they not been approached by this FBI informant. So yeah, it's certainly possible that these three men might have been part of that sort of thing. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised either that there is this type of hate-filled desire to see Muslims be hurt.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So let's go back to the issue of the election, Hossam. What do you make of, certainly Hillary Clinton is taking advantage of the of Trump's rhetoric and his unpopularity among Muslims. She has actually made it a point to reach out to Muslims, I think, in a way, very specifically. Is that having an impact? And could Muslim voters be the deciding factor in some states this election?
I mean, there is certainly a factor of benefit that she's gaining from the fact that Muslims are escaping or running away from Trump and basically saying anyone but Trump. And obviously the two main candidates, the two viable candidates for this election are either Trump or Hillary Clinton. So there is a factor involving that. Many, many Muslims are voting for her for that reason. But also to give her credit, I mean, to put things in perspective, CARE is a nonpartisan organization, so we're not endorsing either candidate, obviously. Personally, on a personal level, I volunteered and I supported the campaign of Bernie Sanders for the progressive values he carried. And obviously within CARE and the Muslim community, people are not monolithic, so we have the full range almost. I don't know if anyone with Trump, but I'm sure there would be in the Muslim community like any other community, even though it might be a very small. But the reality is she does carry some of the democratic values and some of the progressive values when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to inclusion, when it comes to rejecting Islamophobia and bigotry as a whole. So even those who might disagree with some of her foreign policy, some of her history, some of her real commitment to those values, at least will acknowledge that she does say the right things when it comes to challenging bigotry. So and she's spending a lot of resources, time, money, reaching out to that community because she realizes that at the end of the day, it's the swing voters and the minority votes who will make the difference, especially in swing states such as Ohio, in Michigan maybe, and Florida, where there is a large and substantial Muslim community in those states.
Well, finally, Hussam, where can people get a hold of the actual survey results? And are you planning on doing any more surveys? The final debate, presidential debate, is happening on Wednesday in Las Vegas. Are you planning one more survey?
Obviously, you can get the result of that survey by visiting the CARE website at care.com. At the national website, and also we're looking into various ways of measuring the public opinion of the Muslim community through either online surveys or maybe conducting another one. We'll look into to see what kind of debates, what kind of issues are discussed. There will be a lot of foreign policy issues, and if that requires gauging the public opinion of the American Muslim community, we would do so. Although it seems that most Muslims have had their mind set in terms of who they're voting for, as it seems from the latest survey that we conducted.
Right, only 12% undecided. And actually, by the way, it should also mention that over the years, 9/11 was a big turning point in the political leanings of Muslim voters. Muslims, Arab Americans, you know, various sort of members of the Muslim community were partisan in favor of the Republican Party much more so before 9/11 than after 9/11. After the wars of 9/11, and of course the policies that targeted Muslims after 9/11, a lot of that did change. And then we're seeing that be cemented now with Trump's candidacy. Hussam, always
I'm old enough to remember that, yes.
Me too. Hussam, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonal. It's a pleasure being on your show.
Hussam Ailush is the Executive Director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, Greater Los Angeles Area Chapter. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.